All right, it's a Tuesday. What do we do? Dial a Doc program. And today we're going to head to the FHN Infection Control and Clinical Quality Control Office as well. Margie Kochmeyer is back with us again. Hey, Margie, good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning, Scott.
Well, guess what? COVID again today, right?
Yes.
We haven't spoke for a while, but my understanding is that there's the new variant out that's on the rampage. Tell us about the new variant and how it's different from the previous variants like Delta.
Well, there's less time from the time of exposure now to developing the infection. So with Omicron, we could see people developing infection within 2 days from transmission. For those who are vaccinated, we're seeing less time to recover with the Omicron. It's transmitted more easily than the other variants, including Delta, and this is because it's staying in the upper respiratory system rather than settling in the lungs. It's closer to the nose and mouth, and it can be expelled more easily. Contagious 2 days before symptoms, and this is kind of still out there thinking maybe 3 days after symptoms, you can still be transmitting it instead of seven. This is one of the reasons we may have seen quarantine dates drop. Stopping the spread is going to be our best method of attack, and that's with vaccination and by getting a booster when it's recommended.
All right. Is this version milder? That we're hearing that. Is that true? Is it actually milder?
Omicron is milder for those who are vaccinated, and that's about 62% of the people in our country. It's milder for those who have had a booster, and that's only about 23% of our country. Doesn't mean that a vaccinated person won't get Omicron. It means that they may be able to manage at home or survive the illness, and maybe they may not need to be hospitalized. For people who are not vaccinated, they can still become very sick because they have no protection.
Now, you mentioned vaccinated people actually getting COVID. That's called breakthrough cases. Does that mean, I know the anti-vaxxers are out there saying, well, vaccinations don't work. Is that true?
I can tell you firsthand that vaccines are working because I see this every day in my work. It's done exactly what it was intended to do. It is helping reduce critical illness for those who become infected. We are seeing this in our patients that are coming to us in the hospital. The majority of our critical patients have been unvaccinated.
What's the difference? If there is a difference between getting infected and getting the disease?
Somebody who's infected with the disease can be a carrier without ever developing symptoms, so they can transmit the disease unknowingly to other people. You might hear somebody said, I got COVID, but I haven't been around anybody who's sick. Remember, somebody does not have to have those outward symptoms to be contagious, and for those who do test positive, they're contagious 2 days before the symptoms show. So you can be talking to somebody one day that looks perfectly fine, and they can be transmitting it to you. Having the actual disease is when someone has the symptoms, the body aches, the fever, the headache.
You mentioned the booster shots as being important. In addition to getting the initial vaccination, either the two shots or the one shot with Johnson & Johnson, why is a booster shot important?
The recommendation for the boosters was based on research that suggested that getting a booster dose can decrease your risk of infection and severe illness if you contract COVID-19. For some people who they've had persistent antibodies for over 6 months, other people, they don't have enough antibodies to give them protection, so they need that additional dose. We know older people fit into that category of having a less effective immune response. The CDC is now recommending that kids age 5 through 11 who have severely weakened immune systems should get that additional dose of Pfizer. Until we have high vaccine coverage, this virus is going to continue to thrive, and we might not be able to escape it. But being vaccinated and boosters will help your survival.
You know, we hear a lot about the anti-vaxxers out there who just won't get any of the vaccination. But, you know, these lazy boosters, the ones that aren't getting boosted, that's also an issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you, we are seeing the heartbreaking side of that here at the hospital.
What about people saying, doctors out there saying, well, eventually everybody in your lifetime, everybody is going to get COVID at one point or another. So a lot of people are saying, well, I'm going to get it anyway. So, what's the big deal right now?
I hear people say that a lot. We will probably all be exposed to the Omicron strain just because of how fast it's spreading across the United States. Doesn't mean that we're all going to become symptomatic with it. Some people have said to me, why don't I just get it? It's a milder variant. Maybe it will boost my immunity. It is never a good idea to catch a disease on purpose because there's consequences that go with it. This is not like having a bad cold. This is a life-threatening disease. We've seen the long-term effects or the long COVID of people that have damage to their lungs and their heart. They have mood changes. They have breathing problems, and some can't return back to work. With the increase in those who are ill, there might not be a bed for you if you come to the hospital and you really need one. If you could follow a healthcare worker who is taking care of a COVID patient, you would not want to intentionally try to get infected with this disease.
You talk about hospitals being overrun right now. Why is that? And what about, what's the census at FHN Memorial Hospital right now?
We're over 90 this morning. COVID has strained our healthcare system like it has every health system. We still have non-COVID patients that need healthcare, and our beds are being taken by COVID patients that can be hospitalized for weeks or a month or longer. Every part of healthcare systems are being affected by the increase in census and the length of stay of these critically ill patients. An increase in patient census means an increased need for staff in all areas. And then we have staff that get COVID and become sick and they can't work. We all want this to be over with. We all want to return to our lives before COVID. But the longer we let this virus continue to spread, it's going to be harder for us to get back to that normal life we want.
So are you saying you're 90% full? Is that the, is that what you're saying?
We have over 90 patients.
All right.
That's a lot for us.
Gotcha.
And so many are critical.
All right. And what about how are you guys coping internally, staff? What's going on there?
FHN saw surge in patients that required us to expand to a second intensive care unit. We opened an additional wing in the hospital to accommodate our increase in census. We reopened our acute respiratory clinic on Harlem where we can do testing. We still have testing available at the tent on the FHN campus. We are using non-clinical staff to answer phones so our clinical staff can provide direct patient care. Nurses who left the bedside, including myself, have returned to be helping hands to our staff and our inpatient units. FHN is coping like we always have by supporting each other so we continue to give good care to our patients during this challenging time.
We're talking to Margie Kochmeyer, FHN Infection Control, talking about COVID again now. Margie, I understand that some people aren't discovering that they have COVID until after they are in the hospital, and so they're not being entered the hospital, but not because of COVID. Does that mean, I know that a lot of people out there saying, well, then this means the statistics for hospitalizations and deaths, all of this is overblown and is overstated. Is that true?
There are some findings that we found when people come in and they're incidental findings. Somebody comes in for a procedure, they're sick, and we detect that they have it. The increase in our census, though, has been really due to the number of COVID patients we're seeing. There's times we have 30 additional patients added to our daily census who are testing positive. We've seen more hospitalized patients with COVID recently than we did earlier in the pandemic. The report of hospital deaths due to COVID may actually be understated because for some people, they return to the hospital with continued problems associated from having the disease. So they may not be counted as COVID deaths, although the disease probably contributed to their deaths. The high number of inpatients and the patients with us for longer periods of time than what we're used to having them is where the true toll of the pandemic has, it's where it's taken on healthcare.
Margie, what about new treatments? You know, after you get COVID, what does a treatment plan look like now?
Well, the aim for both inpatient and outpatient, reduce the virus, boost the immune system, and know that those treatments are based on the patient's needs. So sometimes that looks different for some patients. In the hospital, remdesivir, it's an antiviral that works by stopping the spread of the virus in the body. Some studies are showing that there's earlier recovery. We may see additional treatments used to treat complications that people are having. They have heart, kidneys, lung problems. We're using antibiotics and inhaled steroids. Vitamin C has always been a known immune booster. We are using this for hospitalized and outpatient. Zinc, 50 milligrams a day. For outpatients, we use a little higher dose for inpatient. Probiotics, it can boost your immune system, decrease viral infections, both in and outpatient. And L-lysine, it can decrease viral replication, 1 to 2 grams a day. Again, both inpatient and out, And for those that are not sick enough to be in the hospital, monoclonal antibody treatments. And these work like natural antibodies. An example is bamlanivimab. It's a combination. We use this. It's FDA authorized. And it can help the immune system recognize and respond more effectively to the virus.
What I don't get is that folks who don't like to get the vaccine, don't want to get the vaccine, the anti-vaxxers, they're more likely to go after the monoclonal antibody treatment after they get it, even though that is just as experimentally approved by the FDA as the vaccine, right?
Yeah, that has me questioning that too. And, you know, it has taken such a toll on patients' families to just take the vaccine and not have months of treatments or being out of work would have been a lot easier option.
And I guess I also wonder, is the medical community now moving towards calling vaccines not just a preventative, but actually as a pre-treatment to COVID, that it actually, you know, since it lessens the impact of COVID, you argue the breakthrough cases are happening, that maybe you'd make some headway with the anti-vaxxers by saying, well, yeah, maybe get it, but you're going to feel a lot better if you do get it, if you get the vaccine, the full vaccine treatment.
And, you know, we can watch Australia in this, and they've had a lot more people that are vaccinated, and they haven't had near the deaths that we have. And the numbers are astounding for the United States with the number of deaths versus Australia. But they've been very, very strict. And in kids over 16 and over, I think they've had 92% compliance with vaccination.
What about children? We haven't talked about kids. There is no vaccine right now approved for kids under the age of 5, is that right?
That's correct. The Omicron variant seems to be affecting those kids under 5 with this harsh cough. And it's, again, because like we talked, it's landing in their upper airways. Remember, little kids have little narrow airways, so it doesn't take much for inflammation to cause problems for them. Viruses like RSV and flu, that has always led to kind of the croupy cough with kids, and COVID is doing the same thing to them. It's caused more kids to be hospitalized. The best way that you can protect this age group is to have the adults around them vaccinated.
I know there's daily news about COVID, daily numbers. Oh, I guess before we conclude, I asked earlier on the air with our sports people about whether or not we're noticing, because we do Illinois and Wisconsin games, we seem to be noticing that there are more game cancellations because of COVID in Illinois than Wisconsin. I know that you don't practice in Wisconsin, but do you think that might be true?
I don't know if that would have something to do with maybe their vaccination rates. It would almost seem like that would be, or some precautions that they're taking. You know, is everybody hand sanitizing before they're touching the ball? I kind of worry about that. The, you know, basketball and volleyball and everybody touching the same thing, and they shouldn't be touching their face. They should have some hand sanitizer out there for the kids.
All right. Okay. So much new news about COVID. It keeps changing, not just daily, but sometimes hourly. How can people stay up to date, Margie?
We're trying to keep you up to date through the radio station, our social media pages, our Insight Journal, and we are giving you the most up-to-date information that is reliable.
All right, Margie. Great to talk to you again. And I'm sure we will talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right, Margie Kochmeyer, Infection Control at FHN, the preceding brought to you today and sponsored by FHN.